Ephesians chapter 6. Call my messages Tychicus. It's Tychicus or Tychicus. Even the phonetic spelling and the lexicons and stuff, that's a hard one. So just like with Philemon, I don't think Tychicus will mind if I call him Tychicus. They can forgive me. But the title of my message is Tychicus, God's Preacher. Well, there's a whole, we could spend weeks on these two verses. That's our text. We need to learn something. God's got to teach it to us. Because this ain't just about, that's dealing with preachers. I don't have to listen. I'm not a preacher. That's dealing with pastors. I'm not a pastor. That don't affect me none. Now, like we saw this morning, we're everyone's servants. The Lord's going to make every one of us priests and kings, isn't he? So we need to pay attention to this. This is to us. This is how we're equipped as children of God. This is how we're equipped, and what happens, it's uniform to his preachers. Go out and preach the gospel, and it's uniform to his pastors. I feel real awkward standing up here telling you about how to treat your pastor and how pastors ought to be and what their qualifications are, but I'm just telling you what the Lord said. It ain't my opinion. I'll just tell you what he said. But this is to every one of us. It's to every one of us. It says in verse 21, Ephesians 6, 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. If the Lord will enable me this morning, if he'll be with us, I want to tell you what this text means. What these two verses mean in such a way that you could walk out that door and someone comes up to you in a parking lot and says, hey, could you tell me what them two verses mean? Why are they there? And you say, yeah, I can tell you what that means. That's what I strive for. I want to be able to put it in the plainest terms possible. I hope it makes sense. I think it'll bless us. We see our instruction in this. You that the Lord may raise up one day to go out and preach, may raise up to go out and pastor. See that instruction and then see Christ fulfilling it. Just like we went through Timothy. All the qualifications for an elder and a preacher, do you fit any of those? Do you know anybody that fits any of those? No, we don't. That's Christ that does it. Our high priest fits them, don't he? We'll see him fulfilled in this too. We see a very brief story throughout the scriptures about some believers, don't we? We just recently looked at Onesimus. He ain't mentioned a whole lot. You think that's important? Lord recorded it for us to have 2,000 years later. There's something there, isn't it? There's a gospel message there. What a blessing it is to see the hand of God at work in our brothers and sisters, both then and now. It's a blessing. Tychicus is not Eutychus in Acts 20. That's commonly misunderstood. He fell asleep. Paul preached until midnight, fell over, died, and then Paul went and raised him. So pastors ought to take it as a compliment if people sleep through the service. They trust you to raise them up if they was to fall over and die, I suppose. But that's not Eutychus, it's Tychicus. It says there he was a beloved brother. Who is a brother? Y'all hear me. Y'all listen to me. Who's a sister? I talk about brethren. Every time I send a bulletin out, brethren, comma. Who are the brethren? This is something important. The Lord wrote it down. It's important, isn't it? Who's a brother or sister or brethren that we always talk about? It's someone that the Father, God the Father, put into Christ before the world was. He chose in Christ and his elect. It's someone that Christ redeemed at Calvary. He purchased. And it's someone God the Holy Spirit has come to and abounded towards them. They tackled them. They got a hold of them. Put life in them. Put Christ, revealed Christ in them. Brethren are the part of the body of Christ. They are family. This ain't somebody that's covered with a napkin. They got the gospel and they're off by themselves. hiding it. Strangers. This is family. We have the same Father. We're not strangers. We might not know each other. We have never met in person. But boy, whenever we meet and talk with them, there ain't nothing strange coming out of them, is there? Ain't nothing strange about them. May have never met them. But boy, we're a family. Right off the bat, we're one. We're unified. We have unity in Christ. Turn back to Ephesians 2, just a couple pages. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Is who our family is, our brothers and sisters. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers. It's not strange. And foreigners, not from another land, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. You're the same. You have the same citizenship. That's who my brothers are. That's who my sisters are. That's my brethren. Fellows in the same ship. Got the same passport. From the same country. We're family. Look here in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I have brothers and sisters that are older than me. I have brothers and sisters that are already in glory. And I have brothers and sisters that are younger than me. And some that ain't been called yet. But they have one Father. We all have the same Father, don't we? Born of Him, we're related. Some people have different fathers. They're not my kin. We're not fellow citizens. We're not family. But we're made one in Him. Look here in chapter 4, verse 4, on another page. Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Who Christ dwells in, that's my family. That's what He said. Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? It's these right here. That's not a term we throw around too easy. I'll give you an illustration. Somebody's a dear, beloved brother. That's the title that comes out. That's the prefix. But they don't believe Christ's death was all that was needed. They think something else was needed. They think that grace of His was resistible. Like when I heard a man say one time, I could stick my hand in the face of God and stop Him. I said, you better not say it out loud again. Oh, it gives me chill bumps now. And I was a small child when I heard that. Some people think that there's resistance they can have. They can, this same person that has this title might say that God didn't make them fully holy. You got to make yourself more holy. You got to sanctify yourself more. They just had to keep part of the law or they'd go to hell. Yeah, isn't that something? People want to keep the law. They want to observe a day or not observe a day or not eat something or you have to tithe or whatever it is. They pick one or two things and it's the easy ones. Read through that Levitical law. That's hard. Oh, you got to keep the moral law. You got to be sweet to me. That's who they're worried about. You don't want no business with that law. You don't want to meet it because you can't keep it. But somebody says you got to do something. You got to be more moral. You got to do something outwardly. You got to pray more. You got to read your Bible more. You got to do something a certain way. And those people that don't need the love of believers, they don't need to be around the body of Christ. They can take it or leave it. I don't have to sit underneath the gospel and be fed today. There's no need in them. Take it or leave it. Take their brethren. Of one body, of one Father, born of the same country, heavenly kingdom. Man, if my brother or my sister flew into the airport down there, I ain't seen them in 6 months, and they didn't come by and say hi to me, or they didn't tell me it's coming, you think I'd be mad? Of course I would. Hey, ain't we brothers and sisters? People hide off with a napkin up in a hill somewhere thinking they're holding God. Now, to you who believe, a person that meets all those things, thinks those things, you got to do something else. And I don't need the Lord, don't need His people. Would you call them brother, a dear, beloved brother that Christ bled for? I hope not. We need, me too. I got a bad habit from the military, called everybody, what's up, brother? And I ought not do that, even in a carnal mind or out in this world. But we need to be careful about throwing around the word brethren, brother, and sister. This is a precious prefix. It's a precious title that Christ's blood paid for. We ought to be careful. We don't throw around the title doctor, do we? Some people get a PhD in ants or bugs or something. They say, I'm a doctor. And then somebody starts having a heart attack. We need a doctor. You're a doctor. Oh, no, I ain't that kind of doctor. Might be somebody you need. Somebody here, you call somebody brother or sister. They may have a need one day. Need to lean on them. We ought to be careful. These children of God are more than just siblings in this flesh and blood. They are beloved of God. We are united in Him, in Christ. That's an uncommon title. That is precious. That's what the Lord calls peculiar. They're a peculiar people. All right, now back in our text, Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that you may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother. This brother, he was beloved. Tychicus loved the Lord. Why? Why did Tychicus love the Lord? Same as you who believe in this day do. He first loved us. The Lord loved Tychicus. That's how he loved the Father. He loved the brethren and was loved by the brethren. He loved them. Paul loved him. Paul loved Tychicus. They traveled a whole bunch. They went all through Asia together. As a bunch of them at first, and then as they started falling away, Tychicus was left. That's good. That's why, let's go to rescue this July. Let's travel. There's two brethren right now traveling from one state to another so one can go preach, and he took one of them with him. Lord uses that. You get to staying in motels and eating in places you don't want to eat and get a bad meal, and you get to see people and how they are, and the Lord's preachers and pastors will see something in somebody, see the fruits of the Spirit in somebody, and say, I think the Lord's going to use that person. Why don't you go with me again? Why don't you start reading Scripture? Why don't you, can you bring 15 minutes? That's how the Lord grows His pastors and preachers. They don't just come to you one day and say, did you go to school? Spend some time with them. That's good. That's what reading Acts 20. Tychicus was with the whole mess of them that was traveling with Paul. He's the one that was left. He endured, didn't he? Paul loved him. Paul loved him. Tychicus was as Paul's scribe. Do you know he penned this letter of Ephesus, Ephesians? Paul spoke it. Paul told Tychicus, and he's the one that wrote it out. Paul loved those in Ephesus too, didn't he? Those brethren. He loved those brethren in Ephesus so much, he was going to sacrifice himself for those brethren in Ephesus. How's he going to do that? Tychicus is sitting there in prison with him. This trusted friend. Boy, we've been through a lot of cold nights, ain't we? Oh, spend a lot of time together. You help me write this. I can't see nothing. You write it, Tychicus. That's a help, wasn't it? Boy, what a help. And Paul said, you know what? I love you. Instead of me keeping him, I'm going to send him to you. Some of them writers, he went to go be the pastor at Ephesus. That's Paul loving the brethren, isn't it? He loved them brethren the same as Tychicus loved them. How does someone become so loving and so lovable? Brethren are lovable. Do you know that? Might be days you might not like me, but I hope you love me. I might burn some meals sometimes up here. I may burn some toast, but still be lovable, ain't we? How do we do that? Titus, Paul wrote to Titus and said, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice. Well, that's not loving, is it? Living in envy, to envy, to want something somebody else has got, or a position, or a thing, or anything. That's not lovable. That's not loving, is it? We were hateful, hating one another. Despising God and despising His people. That's where we all started out at. That's where we were born of Adam in this world. In our flesh, until the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts, wasn't it? Something had to happen. Till God, the Holy Spirit, come to us through the preaching of the gospel. He sent a Tychicus to you. And He said, this is God's Word. Here's what it means. And I said, boy, that's right. This is Christ right here. I see now. The light's been turned on. The Lord said, let there be light. And there was light in my heart. Look at that. That's how it happens. That's what changes. That's how we become lovable and loving. Turn over to James 3. Just after Hebrews. James 3 there. Let's see what this son of thunder has to say about his beloved brethren. James 3, verse 13. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? You got any wisdom? You want to share with everybody else? You want to come here and talk and still listen? Who's wise among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. If you're all fired up to fight the good fight that Anton, don't glory. And lie not against the truth. Don't let it be in your flesh. This wisdom, somebody getting all fired up on their knowledge, on their wisdom, and got to share it with everybody, it descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Those brethren in Ephesus needed Tychicus. They needed him. Paul come, preached the gospel, and they were self-governed ever since. That's making their own decisions. And you know what that turns into? Well, I'm wise. I know how to do this. Well, you're wise. You know how to do that. Let me teach this one. You teach that one. And they'll find teachers of themselves, scriptures tell us. Isn't that right? They knew the gospel. There's the Lord's people. But boy, they got an old nature. Bites and devours. Tears them up. There's envying and strife. And you know what that happens? Confusion. Who's running? You can put a whole lot of people in a wagon, only one man can hold the reins. If everybody in that wagon's reaching up, well, I think this. Well, I think that. There's confusion. There's confusion and delay. That's what it causes, buddy. Ain't going to do them no good. What's going to have to happen? Verse 17, James 3:17. But the wisdom, that's in ourselves. That's not just in the local, but it's in us, it's in our homes, it's in the church, and it's in the body of Christ throughout. It's systemic. It's the same throughout. What happens in a person? We're that way. I'm going to tell what I know, even though I got one mouth and two ears. We're every one that way. Something's got to change. Something's got to make us lovable and loving. Look here in verse 17. But the wisdom of God that is from above is first pure. When Christ is revealed in a person, when we are born again, they hear for the first time the Lord's voice. It says, that is from above is first pure. Then, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Boy, that's something. That's a good. That's a, the Lord has to give that. There are some people in this world I don't want to talk to. Get my head chopped off. Boy, hard, stern. They're not easily entreated. God's got to come into their heart. God's got to come to them. That pure thing from above's got to be revealed in them. Then they'll be peaceable. Then they'll be easily entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. They don't prefer one over the other. Our nature does that, don't it? I like this one. I prefer Paul over Apollos. Oh, Cephas, what a speaker. Man, that guy was good, wasn't he? Just a clay pot with water in it. Clay pot with water in it. Without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is an honorable, precious title given to someone, a beloved brother. God's worked in them. You can tell it spills out. Their cup overfloweth. That cup inside of them, that new man's full, plumb full, and it's coming out. What's coming out of them? The water of life that went in them. Christ comes out of them. Meekness. Easily approachable. Christ told us in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You see, if you quote a lot of Scripture, there's people that love the Scripture and ain't got a clue who Christ is. No, that's not what he said. If you change how you talk in front of people, you just sound real sweet. You put on your church voice, what we call it in the South. Well, hello. Everything's a little higher and all the vowels kind of smooth together. You got to sound a little different. Oh, answer the phone different? No, that's not what he said. How's everybody going to know that you're my disciples? If you live a clean, virtuous life, ooh, you got to have some holy living. Now quit drinking, smoking. Don't do those things. Better quit cussing. Better dress right. Better comb your hair good. Somebody got on me one time, I got a beard. My Lord has a beard. They plucked it out, didn't they? He said, by this shall you know, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. That's the only thing you can't fake. Unfeigned. You can do it for a little while. But if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. It ain't going to come out of you. But it says there, back in our text, that Tychicus, a beloved brother, says in verse 21, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. It means he was faithful in the work and service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was faithful. This man, beloved, made a brother, was faithful. Paul told us, moreover, it was required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewards. Those that tend to. Those that take a pound and got to keep it. You got to be faithful. You got to abide in it. You got to live there. Make your whole life in it. Turn yourself over completely to it. Be faithful. Where did the love come from that made Tychicus a brother? Where did that come from? The Lord. It came from the Lord, didn't it? That's where his first love that made him beloved. He made him family. Where does his faithfulness come from? Well, now we got to change gear. Nope, that's not the case, is it? Where's faithfulness come from? The Lord's got to make you faithful. We don't produce it. It's a gift of God. The gift of the God that is faithful. Of our Redeemer who is faithful. Turn back just a little bit to Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. But you see what my faith produced? You didn't produce nothing. The Lord produced it. It's His workmanship. It's His faith. He gave it to you. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. God, Almighty God ordained His children to be faithful. Those He loved first in Christ. Those He gave the gift of faith of Christ. It's His faith. And He begins it, He works it, and He ends it. He's the author and finisher of it. And He's ordained that it will happen. Will He let one perish? Said He wouldn't, would He? He ordained it. He'll make it happen. He'll make them faithful. All the works of men and women that they think are good works are not what God says are good works. Did you know that? Just think about that. You doing good works? The fruits of the Spirit. Being joyous is a good work. Being meek is a good work. Having temperance is good. Keeping your mouth shut is a good work. Hushing. Being shut up to your sin. Boy, does that produce some good things? You've got to look to Christ if He shuts you up to sin. Being gentle to a brother or sister that's fallen. Being tender to them, that's a good work. All these fruits are the workmanship of God in you. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. That beloved is going to be faithful because it's the same from the same Spirit, same fruit. Christ dwelling in you, abiding in you. If you love, the Spirit produced that in you. If you have faith, the Spirit, capital S, produced that in you. Those born of God are faithful. That's why Paul is addressing his letters to believers. The saints, those beloved of God. He said, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Over in Colossians, he begins with, to the faithful brethren in Christ. The faithful ones. Now also, Tychicus was faithful because Christ qualified him. He appointed him. He sent him. The same as He sent Paul. You ain't got to turn there, but in 1 Timothy it says, Paul writes, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me, for that He counted me faithful. He made me faithful too, didn't He? Putting me into the ministry. Who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. God had to save him first because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant in faith, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. How does the Lord equip His children in faith and love that He gives. How does He equip His preachers and pastors? With faith and love that He gives. How is our high priest equipped? With His faith and His love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, before sending His ministers out, Christ works in them so that they will prove their faithfulness to their brethren. There's a dear brother of mine that's a pastor for a long time, sold his bass boat. You know what his brethren back there said? Boy, he's serious now. I know a couple of brethren had some very successful businesses. Business was a booming. And they sold their business. Moved to the other side of the state. They're serious now, ain't they? He proved it. Lord enabled them to prove that. They spent a lot of time together, Tychicus and Paul. And Paul found him to be of one mind. And there's Christ dwelling in that. One mind in the gospel. And he remained faithful to Paul even when all them other ones deserted him. He was proven faithful to Paul, and Paul sent him to a bunch of churches to go preach for him. Go preach Christ. What does it mean to be a faithful minister in Christ? First, he's faithful to the Lord our Master, our God. He knows himself to be a sinner. When I was talking to a brother that's preaching this morning. We were up late last night talking. I said, when I tell you all, if you could see inside of my head, you wouldn't eat lunch with me. I'm being serious. I know what I am. The Lord's revealed it to me. All my hope is in Christ alone. And our desire is for Christ to have all the glory. In this life, in the gospel we preach, in His house, in my own house, everywhere. That's a priority, isn't it? Isn't that the same in your house? For everyone you believe, in your heart, God gave you love, gave you faith, made you believers. You seek Christ's glory in all things. You ain't got to stand up here and preach to do that, do you? Alright, I'll skip on down lastly, trying to keep you long. Communication. Back in our text. Lord, equip this brother with love, making him a beloved brother. He equipped him with faithfulness, and He equipped him with the ability to communicate. We see the importance of communication between brethren here. It says there, but that ye also may know my affairs, how I do, he shall make known to you. Tychicus shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs. Paul just told him how he was a captive in Rome. He was a prisoner. Could you imagine if somebody got word, like, Brother Clay Curtis is in prison up in New Jersey, been locked up for a year. Well, how is he? You think him, brethren in Ephesus wanted to know how he's doing? Are they feeding him? Well, he said he's been preaching. How's that possible? Well, he's got a hired house. Well, how are they letting him do this? What is he doing? Is it benefiting the Lord's work getting done there? They wanted to know about him, didn't they? I thought about this during all this COVID stuff, and the Lord used that to send somebody in His providence. Like, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. Mom's working extra because of COVID. I'm going to go listen to this guy preach with my family members, my cousins. And Lord saved that person. I told you that. Does that make you... It's good, isn't it? I want to know. I want to know the Lord's working. Where's He at? What's He doing in my brothers and sisters, in my body? I might have a liver over there. I might have a lung over there. I want to know about them. He's going to send them. We've got to communicate those things. And knowing where to rejoice with our brethren and knowing where to pray with them and to suffer with them, to weep with them. If somebody don't tell me they're hurting, I don't know to pray for them. If I don't know they're struggling, and it don't matter what it is. Like we saw Paul talking to Philemon and Onesimus, whether they wronged you. I don't need to know the sin. Keep that to yourself. But you say, I'm suffering over my sin. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know the cure too. Look to the one that took that sin away. I need reminded of that, and we do too. And our brethren in other places, they need reminded of that. This is important that Paul's also communicating to the church of Ephesus by giving them Tychicus. He communicated his word. Hey, you tell them what was going on with me. But he also communicated, he gave this one that served him, ministered to him, to them, to serve them, to minister and labor for them. He gave them Tychicus. with his word, this man that preaches the gospel. Boy, isn't that a good gift to communicate? That's God's ascension gift. So I'll give you pastors and preachers after my own heart. I'll send them to you. Paul gave Tychicus here, just as God the Father gave us Christ. Communicating what God the Father did for His people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Tychicus is going to bear some children in Ephesus. Some spiritual children. He's going to go out there and preach, and somebody's going to hear. They're going to receive life through the Lord in there. Communicating is what Christ did for us. John told us, said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Why was Tychicus so willing? He had it made pretty good in the big city of Rome. Probably could have had a side job, comfy. Everybody fed. Why would he give all that up to go to Ephesus and go be a servant? Giving up a bunch. Don't make sense to the logical, to the natural man. Don't make no sense. Why would he do that? Christ laid down His life for him. He was beloved. He was made faithful to Christ. And he said, "Well, Christ laid down His life. I'll give up everything in this earth. Sell it all. I don't care. I'm going to go down there to Him. You're going to be up late at night, Tychicus. That's all right. You ain't going to sleep. You start waking up 4 o'clock every morning worrying and praying. Wolves are going to come at you." And sometimes they have a unified attack around this nation at the same time, around this world. Wolves are coming. They're going to try to kick you out of there. And they're going to chide your ears and whoop you and wrestle you and grapple you. And Tychicus said, "That's all right. Servant ain't above his master, is he?" Made him willing. And that communication of faith and love is what Tychicus took to him. And Paul sent it through him. All right. What's that going to happen if he sacrifices all these things to communicate to him? It's going to comfort and bless those people. Here in verse 22, lastly, we see this charge Christ gives His servants. It says that He, that Tychicus, might comfort your hearts. That's what Isaiah told us. Nothing's changed, has it? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, what's that mean? Well, Tychicus is there to explain to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what that double means. That's comfort. He sent him to comfort. And he did. Paul sent him. And he's going there on the word of Paul. But did Paul say, "I'm going to send him, but I'm still going to comfort you through Tychicus"? No, he said Tychicus is going to comfort you. That's a coffee cup you were given. And you need the coffee, you don't need the cup. Listen to the one that sent you. That's Paul's. He couldn't go with him, but at ordinations you go, and that's a brother giving a good profession of another brother, giving a good report. This man's faithful. He loves the Lord. Lord loves him. Ain't no laying on of hands. Spurgeon said, "Putting your empty hands on my empty head ain't going to help nobody. Man don't do it. God does it." And everybody said, "Well, that's something to aspire office of bishop's a good thing until you get to know what it costs." Don't count the cost. Lord has to do it. God has to do it. He has to make a faith. How was you saved? How did you come to know Christ? God had to do it. You didn't do it yourself, and some other man didn't do it for you. God had to save His people. He comforts and He blesses. Tychicus could comfort all these brethren concerning the Lord, about why the Lord gave Paul these afflictions, and why the Lord gave him these afflictions, and why the Lord gave him this duty. He could go tell them. Go tell them about why. Why these things happened. Who it happened for. Whose glory it happened for. Turn over to Philippians 1. I'll let you go. Philippians 1. I went to turn. Look down at Philippians 1. I got to stop writing turn in my notes. Kimma takes all those out for you all. If I send the notes out, she makes it make sense. Philippians 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's in prison. Oh, ain't nothing good come out of that. Our pastor, the man that preached me the gospel to me, oh, he's in dire straits. He's a prisoner of Christ. It happened just on purpose for the furtherance of the gospel. People say, well, I don't know about that. Are you reading Paul's letter right now? God furthered it for 2,000 years down the road. All that was for the furtherance of the gospel. That trial the Lord sent him. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether he kills, that was verse 19 on. Whether he kills me in this body, the trials he sends me. If the Lord takes my eyesight and I can't see no more. Boy, that's right. What the Lord did was right. If he keeps me faithful to the end, what he did was right. If he lets me love my brethren to the end, what he did's right. Good, bad, or ugly. Any trial he sends, it's for his glory. Now both Paul and Tychicus were beloved brothers, faithful ministers in Christ. They communicated. They gave themselves to their brethren. They comforted their brethren. And the memories of both of them are preserved for us still. Isn't that something? Right here in the Lord's Word. This is a picture of us. What our Lord did for us. And he sends preachers and pastors, and teachers in the gospel. And he saves his people from the bottom to the top. From a toe to the head. It's uniform, isn't it? Tychicus mentioned here, it's short. But boy, there's so much instruction out of that for the servants of Christ. In our homes, in our preaching, and throughout this world. But wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't it be good if you were remembered? If you were remembered as a beloved, faithful servant. Wouldn't that be something? If he's made you that way, he's wrote it in the book. He's wrote it in the book. To be remembered forever.